Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events, and there are a lot of those for today, Thursday, February 11th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
What a day it has been. And we'll have to see if it follows through. And, hey, I wanted it above. We were looking for a close above 1,200 today. Well, we got that.
Yeah.
And we'll see what the next level is for gold. There's reports out there that it's going to go. And till we get over 14, then it's going to go to 2,000. But I think we'll have to see really what goes on, the follow through tomorrow and next week. We know China has been closed this week due to their New Year celebrations. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when China becomes involved in these markets. Europe is basically falling apart over there. And but first, let's go ahead and get to the gold prices. Off the $60 rise in gold today. We're looking at gold up about $46 on the day at $1,244. And we had a high of $1,263 for the day. So 4% rise in gold. Silver is up 40 cents today. It's $15.78. I saw it tipped over 16 at one point in time. So good day in silver. Platinum was up about the same as silver, up percentage-wise anyway. That was up $25 at $964. Palladium is up $2 at $527. That was interesting. That was down most of the day. It was a negative territory. A little pressure on the dollar. We're still holding at 95.57, down 0.31. And crude oil was in $26. It was in this $26 territory. It's looking to cross back up over $27, but just barely. And the paper markets today, all computers are slow today. You have the Dow down 200 points. And of course, early morning trade, we were looking at over closer to another 400-point drop. They tried to bring it back, but we're still looking at 200 points down at 15,713. The NASDAQ just down 16 points at 42.66. Looks like that's the one that they concentrated on, along with the S&P down 22 at 18.29. The 10-year yield, it just keeps dropping 1.64%. And, of course, with pressure on the dollar, the euro is climbing 1.13, up 0.41. And, you know, we'll take a look at Hong Kong. It was down 4%. Japan was down 2.5%. Germany was down almost 3%. And London was down 2.5%. A lot of pressure on their banks in London. And the Deutsche Bank, they're beginning to buy back their own debt. You know, they're hoping that that puts a little confidence into their investors so they don't continue to scream to the gold windows that are opened over in London. And certainly there was a lot of purchasing going on. Let me see if I can bring up the numbers here for gold I had here. The metal grew about 4% just in the fourth quarter last year. You have the Russian Central Bank that I believe for this year it's up over 15%. The price of gold, but we're talking about demand. Russia's central bank stockpiled the most gold last quarter, adding an estimated 60 tons to its reserves. And the Russia bought about 200 tons of gold last year, 141 tons of which is thought to have been snapped up over the summer. There was a lot of I'm sorry, folks. I thought I had it here, and I lost the report of a description of the type of buying that has been going on in London, where things have just been, they get it. You know, people are certainly going to gold as the safe haven. We first saw it in bonds, and now you're seeing it flow over to the gold market. So I don't care what any of these reports come out over the years and the pressure on gold when they say gold is no longer the place to be. Gold is the place where everyone will go. It's going to be all about gold in the future because that is the only store of value, of wealth that there is. And when you have banks out there buying up their own debt, I mean, ow. What is wrong with this picture?
And it's like feeding little kids. You know how you got to do that thing with a spoon and here comes the airplane and the rest of the kid doesn't want to eat it. And then you finally have to take some of it yourself. Isn't it good? See, daddy's eating the green beans or whatever it is. And so the little kid, you should eat it too. It's like that. They said, we can buy this stuff. We think it's good. You should think it's good also.
And certainly, you know, there's all kinds of reports and comparisons now made with the Lincoln times of when Lehman Brothers was in trouble and Bear Stearns and AIG. We're all going back to those times. And but yet they still the oil and gas industry. Here's some numbers out that I was looking for prior to the program. And I just want to remind the listeners, Rob West will be joining us here at the break. There's lots of things to talk about. We normally have James Corbett of the Corbett Report, but Japan has a holiday. And since you all know he lives in Japan, he wanted to share that time with his family. So he should be returning next week, and this gives us an hour today with Alfred, and Rob West will be joining us here in just a little bit. But, you know, you talk about the price of oil, and globally, the oil and gas industry has issued $1.4 trillion of bonds, $1.4 trillion of bonds, and taken out a further $1.6 trillion in syndicated loans. driving the sector's combined debt to $3 trillion. And this is according to the Bank of International Settlements. And this is what is turning toxic. This is what's turning, you know, and I'm assuming these syndicated loans would be part of the derivative sector.
Well, they're toxic investments of the same sort that the Federal Reserve was buying shortly after the 2007-2008 Great Recession began. They called them toxic assets. They'll call them the same thing, but the question is, and they bought those at full price in order to prove there was a market
for them.
Yep. Yeah. Now, the question is, does the Federal Reserve have the resources to buy more toxic assets? If they do, then they can buy these oil bonds. Oh, yeah, they're still worth $100,000 each one that's marked. $100,000, we'll buy it for $100,000. They take them off the market in order to prove that they have not lost value, and I don't think they're going to be able to do that this time. I think they're going to see a moment with toxic assets and from a number of different sources, and energy is perhaps the most important at the moment. They're going to buy these things in the same way they bought those. They bought mortgages, right? When mortgages were collapsing, oh, we'll buy the mortgages and the mortgage-backed bonds and one thing and another. I don't think the Federal Reserve has the resources to buy these toxic assets, which means we're going to watch them go to a free market price. And nobody knows where that's going to be, but everybody knows it's going to be down rather than up or even sideways. So we're going to get our toxic assets now. Whether we like them or not, we're going to see them. And, you know, within the next several months, it'll be obvious and undeniable.
Well, you know, Al, you're going to hear all kinds of things coming out. Everybody's going to make again continue with predictions, how it's going to fold out and so forth and whatnot. You know, I always go in when you have these types of things, and I do believe, I mean, this is going to be so far worse than what people ever thought had happened in 2008, 2009, 2010. And unfortunately, people have been conditioned to think that, well, you know, we once had the stock market drop from 14,000 to 6,000, and the government brought it back. So, you know, we're in there long term, and we'll just stay there because, you know, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose everything because it won't come back this time. There's nothing to come back to. As you mentioned, everything has been used. You know, they used every trick in the book. And what are their options that are left? You know,
well, they could reduce government regulation and taxes to let people actually build their own businesses without the government.
Yeah, but that's not
meddling.
The problem. We have a monetary problem. We have countries that it's a currency problem. You know, you have these currencies that, you know, it's part of the big problem. And these currencies have to be stabilized. I mean, it's a lot more than just bringing jobs back into this country. I mean, we hear Donald Trump saying that he's going to be the best jobs president that God ever created. He doesn't talk much about wages, though, does he? You know, and so it's bringing the jobs back when nobody's buying or have the funds or will that – taking the regulations off, will that really work? Will that really do anything?
Well, it will eventually, but it's not going to do anything immediately. We're not going to see an easy or a quick out from the problems that are headed our way.
So even if that's a future, no, we still have to pay the piper. There's going to be debt that has to be paid, and as you fondly say so many times, it's a debt that can't be paid.
Yeah, what can't be paid won't be paid. You know, and you know, we've even seen an article along those lines. Here's something that appeared just yesterday, Fortune magazine. And the headline is, "The U.S. may be even more broke than you think." Right. America may be a whole lot more indebted than we think. Critics of government spending often say that the government owes more than the total value of the gross domestic product, nearly 103%, as a reason why we need to rein in government and do it fat and do it quickly. Those who like to downplay the U.S. government's overall indebtedness will usually point to a smaller figure, just under 74%, which is the total debt held by the public. Well, they argue back and forth, but what they're saying, but recent analysis by the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago may indicate that both groups that dismiss both the groups that dismiss the U.S. debts as manageable and those who worry about it, both of them may be understating just how in hock the U.S. government is. Now, this is coming from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, and this is what John Williams has been telling us for, I don't know, 7-8 years, maybe more than that. I'm not sure when John first started making his announcements, but he started calculating. He said, these people are way more in debt than what they claim. His calculation currently is in the neighborhood of $100 trillion. The official government debt is $19 trillion. He says, no, they're about $100 trillion. Congressional Budget Office and Lawrence Kotlikoff have calculated previously that the total national debt, including unfunded liabilities, is over $200 trillion. Now, here's a study coming from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, and according to the study, the total national debt is right at $50 trillion. They actually put it down $49,898,000,000,000, but we'll just say $50 trillion for fun, and they calculate it's not 103% of the gross domestic product. It's not 74% of the gross domestic product. It's 288% of the gross domestic product. On a percentage basis, we are about twice as deep in debt as Greece. You understand? Oh, my gosh, Greece has all these problems. And how did those irresponsible people get that far into debt? Well, here's the Federal Reserve saying, well, we're actually worse off than Greece. Now, anybody who's followed the situation with Greece, which never seems to end, but if you follow it, you understand they've had trouble there for a considerable number of years, and it's not going to be resolved until they file for bankruptcy. They're trying to continue the pretext that the debt can be paid. Well, it's not going to be paid. They don't have the money. It's never going to be paid. And here we have the Federal Reserve of Chicago. They're saying, whoops, it's not $19 trillion, which is what the official government story is, $19 trillion. They're saying it's $50 trillion. And that's a big jump. It's not an admission that John Williams is right that it's nearer $100 trillion, or that Lawrence Kotlikoff is right that it's nearer $200 trillion. But it's a big step by the Federal Reserve to admit, uh-oh, the debt is 2.5 times bigger than we thought it was, or at least we'd previously admitted. And then they go on, and and even these numbers that I've just been discussing, they point out, and even these may be understatements, and they go on with some more charts and graphs and one thing and another like that. The question is, why haven't we done more to address the nation's looming debt problem? Oh, really? That's the question now? It's a good question, I guess, but it's been the question for how many decades, Melody? The answer to that question, in my opinion, is that it's because we have a debt-based monetary system. Mm-hmm. In the debt-based monetary system, debt is the primary form of wealth, which is insane, but nevertheless, it's like counting feathers and using them as money. You know, let's get these chicken feathers. The feathers are worth more than the chicken. That's nonsense. It's crazy, and yet that's where we've been. Public opinion is turned against fighting the debt. The percentage of Americans who say that reducing the budget deficit should be a top priority is now 56%, down from a high of 72% in 2013. Well, it may be that the public is less interested in eliminating the debt today than they were 2 or 3 years ago. That may be true, but it doesn't change reality. We have a problem here with the debt that's going to sink this boat if we are not careful, and those of you who want to preserve your wealth are going to have to get away from paper debt instruments, because that's the medium of wealth preservation that's going to be devastated when this thing finally collapses. Shall we take our commercial break right now, Melody?
I think we should.
Let's do it. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back with Rob West in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what's next, Melody? We seem to be having a problem reaching Rob West.
Let's see if we have him.
Guest.
Oh, we have him.
He's on the phone. All right, he's on the phone. Okay.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Hi, guys. Hi, Melody.
Thanks for joining us today.
I didn't know if you have anything to talk about or not.
No, it's been a pretty slow day. Did you notice anything? Did you see anything happen today?
Just same old thing, you know. Just expect
Gold up $60 during the day. I suppose we could talk about that. Anybody who's got any gold, they ought to be pretty pleased with that. It's a big move, and it certainly helps to create a very optimistic future about what's going to happen to the price of gold. What do you think is going to happen, Rob? Are we going to see gold compensate, drop back down tomorrow, or do you think it'll continue to rise another $5, $10, $20?
There might be a little bit of a ping pong effect, but I was listening in on a few shows and yours at the beginning, and particularly when you turn on the talking heads on TV, everybody wants to pick a little piece of something, you know, like the jobs report's better, or Janet Yellen talking about the interest rates, or none of that has anything to matter with what's going on. I mean, the big picture is you just saw it online right now, and I think the talking or the plunge protection team towards the end of the day threw money in to bring the Dow back up, and I'm not sure if the other countries have that type of a mechanism. If folks are not familiar with the plunge protection team, that's a various sources of money around the U.S. that really helps guide prices. And I heard you mention that.
It started during the Ronald Reagan administration.
It did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It did.
Which is,
and the theory behind it sounded really good.
I didn't hear what you said, Rob.
Oh, yeah, I think the theory behind it started out pretty good, but you know, when the market started, you know, Reagan was way before the time of really kicking in the derivatives market. And I still think what's going on now, everyone has a mask on. And, you know, the U.S. is the leading economy, followed by China and Japan and Germany. And all these markets are taking a hit. But no one knows the exposure of what a meltdown in a stock index derivative would do. You know, oil closed, what, under 27 today? And there's also derivatives on interest rates and all these things going against the derivative markets. It allows people to be in the ordinary investment market, particularly if you're kind of blinded with just an IRA account or a 401k and you're in a mutual fund. I mean, you just don't have any guidance, even if you could understand this more advanced stuff. And I think you guys are right on with what Melody has talked about before. I don't know what your supply is like now, Melody, as you were going through today, but I'm sure, you know, I even was wondering if you had time for the show, you know, because people know this is coming, but they always wait till the last minute, and then we're going to have that supply for delivery situation to deal with. And, you know, I bet the other countries, central banks, I mean, I've been reading the amounts they've been buying up. And that's one of my thoughts is the price manipulation to keep it low, they could continue to buy up physical. And so we're just having a moral decay situation all over the world, and the money system is a big, big contributor to situations people are going to have to work through.
You know, Rob,
go ahead, Melody.
You know, Rob, when you mentioned about gold and the price is probably ping-ponging a little bit, there's still folks out there who, when they see these types of rises, and I'm thinking of one person in particular, and so if he's listening to the program, I'm sharing this so other listeners can understand. You know, he wanted to wait to see if there was a pullback in gold because he was looking at all the charts and everything else that predicted that, you know, gold would pull back. And this was the early morning trading when I was speaking with this gentleman. And the next thing you know, I says, well, okay, you know, we talked for a while. And he called me back. He says, you know what, I'm not going to wait. He says, I always get in trouble when I do that. And gold had gone up since he had made the purchase. And I hear that a lot. You know, people think because it's up $50, it's up $30, it's up $12.50, it's up 15% from the first year. Oh, well, now we're going to wait for a pullback. And that is I just don't understand that thinking.
Well, when they talk about waiting for a pullback, do they really expect a pullback in the free market, or do they expect a pushback coming out of the Federal Reserve and the other sources that are trying to push, that are trying to suppress prices? I mean, gold gets out of it in the last several years. We've seen gold kind of break loose every once in a while, and then it gets pushed back down. what's happening right now is nobody seems to be pushing it back down, or at least not with any success. It looks like they are either unable to manipulate the price and continue to push it down, or they have decided to stop manipulating the price. And what do you think, Bob? Rob, excuse me. Do you think they have run out of dollar bills and they can't push the price lower? You know, Reagan's original plunge protection team was designed to keep the stock market from falling too far too fast. But it was market manipulation. Well, it worked all right while they had enough money to play that game during the Reagan administration. But I'm not sure that the Fed still has enough money to. Can we expect to see quantitative easing 4? Does the Fed have enough money to implement QE4, or are they broke?
Well, as long as there's no limitation on what money they can digitize, they're always able to create it. And if they need to justify it, that's another matter. But here we go again. It's so easy to look at what we thought was the real rules of the game, but most of us don't keep in mind that we don't know what the real rules of the games are, because still the price that we see here is reflected by the contract market. Mm-hmm. And how many short coverings are out there, do you think, Melody? I mean, you know there's a lot of naked shorts out there.
Well, we actually talked about that, and he was when we went over it, there was still more shorts. Not by a lot, but there was still more shorts.
You mean they're adding more shorts?
There were more shorts, yeah.
They're still adding more shorts, meaning they anticipate that the price of gold is going to go down. Is that true?
That's what it, yeah.
They're hoping that'll happen.
Yeah. Now, it wasn't by a lot, but they're, yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
But keep in mind the clear thinking here. Those who have the ability to throw in those naked short contracts, they don't have any real financial backing to make delivery in cash. I mean, they can buy and sell and manipulate, but it's the same central banks that create money out of thin air anyway. So it's a great game for them. They don't have any skin in the game. And it's a lot like Bob Chapman talked about a lot. So for people to just wait and see if they're going to get a better price on it, it's kind of like waiting to buy fire insurance for your building, and you want to make sure it's only one-third burnt before you buy it, you know? I mean, you better get the insurance while the weather's good, you know?
Yep. I've got an article here from Gold Eagle, and the headline is, "If you miss buying gold, you will regret it later." What do you think, Bob? Rob? I keep saying Bob. I'm sorry about that. I don't.
Well, I think you're right. Well, you know, we had 1600, 1700, 1800 gold, then a drop back. And I mean, these same things will happen. You know, we talked about human nature and somewhat of the moral decay of society. And we're just dealing in a whole different mindset here, I think, in these decades. And like Melody says, I mean, the fundamentals are not going to change. You know, you can just count on that. So,
The big fundamental is, it's in the question, it's found in the question, is there a limit to how much market manipulation is possible? And I have the idea that there is a limit. And I may be mistaken on that, but I think there's a limit, and I think maybe we've seen it. I don't think they can control this. This indicates what we're seeing when I see gold go up $60 in one day. That's telling me somebody is not manipulating. They have turned it loose, in my opinion. Now, it may be that they're only going to turn it loose for a short period of time, and then they'll try to push it back down. But I think they're out of it. You know, they don't have the resources to do it anymore. And I know people think the government, that the Fed can simply spin that money out of thin air, but in truth, all of that money that they spend, they can print it forever. But it doesn't go into the economy unless it's loaned into the economy. It can only go in by creating more debt. I don't know for an absolute fact what's happening here, but I don't think this is, I don't think the situation is just, oh, we got this, it's all under control. I don't think it is. And I think we see evidence of that, not just in the United States, but also in Japan. We see it in Europe. I don't think they're in control. And I think that's the big lesson. And if they're not, then we're about to see that rebound. We've talked that analogy where you take the price of gold like a beach ball that you can hold underwater at the bottom of the pool for some period of time. But sooner or later, that beach ball breaks loose. And when it does, it goes boom, soaring up to the top and above the top of the waterline. I think we're at that point where they're losing control of the beach ball. Now, I could be wrong. We'll watch and see. We'll know better. You know, in the very near future, we'll be able to see if that's true or false. But then, I'm not the only one that thinks that. There's a lot of people that think the government or the Federal Reserve has lost control. There's articles. You see them on a regular basis right now. I've got one from Trading Nation. Says the Fed won't be able to save stocks. That's the headline. All right? They don't think the Fed can pull this off anymore. They don't think QE4 is going to work.
It probably won't.
Well, I understand. But will it even happen? Will someone come up and say, okay, we're going to invest another $800 billion a month into the economy and we'll call it QE4? I don't know that that's even going to happen. And I think maybe it's because the Federal Reserve, I think maybe they're broke or nearly so. I'm sure you understand the idea of balance sheets better than I do. But I've seen reports that indicate that the Federal Reserve's balance sheet is only about 0.3% more positive than negative. Now, I don't know for a fact what that means, but what that implies is they've only got a small, just a sliver of cash left over positive that they can actually spend, that they can inject. That's what it implies to me. And if I'm right about that, they don't have the resources to continue for QE4. Am I mistaken?
Well,
I understand that.
Well, I think you're on to the right train track here, but you know, there's two sets of rails here, and one of the things that's often forgotten.
What's the third rail?
You know, I hope we get that with some common sense, but the money system itself has been, you know, a calamity in the making, and so all the central banks are all into the same game, and they're trying to manipulate the value of their currency from country to country so they can keep their exports up, so they can keep their factories running and, you know, the economy moving. That's kind of common sense. But when you get down to looking at the real rules, you know, GAAP accounting and accounting for a banking system is considerably different, in that when the Federal Reserve was piling in all of those billions of dollars a month to take bad loans off of the books of the banks, they're treating those bad loans as assets. And the odds of those things being solvent to even be an asset is very, very questionable at best. So my hope is, and when we started our company to be in financial education, is to release situational information so that people will get an idea about things they never would have before. Because I'm telling you, I was in it for a long time. The entire financial system is not centered around the customer. It's centered around how many deals they can bring to market. And the NFL, we just saw it conclude here, right? And the big drum up to the Super Bowl and all that. Well, the difference between the NFL on TV and what I'm watching right now on, you know, the Squawk Box or whatever show it might be, it's the same thing. They're trying to keep people all wrapped up about a market, and it looks so cool, and they got all these commentators, and you're talking about interest rates and employment, none of that makes any difference. You got to take the hood off and see what really makes a difference. And the difference is what value you're going to have. Same old fundamentals, Melody, gold and silver and, you know, assets you can put your hands on. And because at the end of the day, the guys that's creating all of this financial news in the marketplaces around the world, that's what they're doing. And they're doing it very well and controlling the price so much that they can go in and buy more and more of what's valuable. Because just what you said a little while ago, Melody, at the beginning of the show, what else is there? And there is, you know, a store of wealth might be a few hundred acres, and if I can grow some non-GMO corn or something like that. I mean, frankly, in the financial world, there isn't anything else. I can't think of it.
It's not liquid. Even those few hundred acres aren't liquid in the same sense that gold and silver are. And there's the big difference.
Right.
I mean, you can store your value,
yeah,
wealth in a number of different physical media, but you can't just go to the grocery store and say, I've got an acre of land I'd like to sell for some groceries. That won't happen. Let's take a break for our commercials, and we will be back on Financial Survival just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Rob West, Senior Financial Advisor from RME Advisors. We'll get to Rob in just a moment. Melody, you have a special for today?
Yes, I wanted to continue the offer of the 90% silver, $50 face value. Now, it has gone up, and it's gone up considerably. It is now $700, and that does include free shipping. $700 for $50 face value of 90% silver. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. This will be shipped by registered and insured U.S. mail. But everything out there is a great price, ladies and gentlemen. Don't wait to see if the prices are going to pull back. It doesn't. Remember, it doesn't matter what the price is when you're buying gold and silver. You need to get in and you need to hold. Because the fundamentals for gold and silver have not changed. They're not going to change until the system is purged, until this debt is going to be wiped out, the stock market's going to be wiped out, your retirement accounts are going to be wiped out. So until all that happens, it's a good deal to buy gold and silver. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Well, Rob, I've got a headline here that says the dethroning of cash, discouraged, penalized, even banned. There's been a lot of talk that we're going to go into a cash-free society. Do you think that's going to happen in the near future? Is that possible, likely, scare story?
You mean digital currency?
No paper dollars.
Everything's going to be plastic. Different promotions. You have a Samsung Android phone, and you can go pass your phone over some scanner at a retail store and buy something with it, you know?
Yep.
I understand why. I believe there's a movement towards doing that, and there is a convenience about advancing the banking system to a certain point. But if anyone would like, a couple years ago, I think I still have a copy of a paper I wrote about money and banking and gold, and it has some historical perspective. And it was back when I think Alan Greenspan had not gone to the dark side yet. But if you get an understanding of how we evolved through the currency system and the economies did, I got to say, it's a lot easier to, buy something online with your debit card or credit card or, all that kind of stuff.
But do you sacrifice any anonymity when you make that purchase?
And I
can
be
go out and buy things with cash, and nobody knows whether I did or I did not buy those things. But once everything is digital, over through your phone or through your plastic debit cards, credit cards, whatever, every one of your transactions will be known to the government, and whether you want that and you think that's a good thing is, debatable. And there's one other point that rings my bell. During the Great Depression, everyone understood the idea that cash was king. Right? If you had any cash and you were willing to spend it, you could get some spectacular deals. If they remove cash from general circulation, what will be king if we go into another depression? I think it might be gold and silver coin.
Well, you and I and Melody have been in the same pulpit for a long time on that. And there's just a different way of thinking that we got to adjust to. And I think it's much safer to explore those possibilities and get back to the gold and silver that in the denominations is easy to exchange for goods and services. If we do go to a currency that comes completely digital, what if you didn't pay your parking ticket? So it gives them the right to go in and completely take everything in your account.
Mm-hmm.
And a parking ticket might be a light reference to what you could be charged with until proven innocent. I mean, you would have absolutely no control over your financial roadmap. I just don't think you would.
If they put this together properly, and they associate your car with your bank account, your credit, whatever, it's conceivable that they could come out and issue a traffic ticket and bill your account at the same time they issue the traffic ticket. And then it's up to you to go to court to fight the ticket and try to get your money back.
Melody, I think it's been a while since I've gone over these rules, but when you're taking in gold and silver or you're selling out gold and silver, I know you have some record keeping that needs to be done, but it's very quite minimal compared to what we're talking about. Could you review a little bit about, you know, are there quantities of gold or silver that you need to report or keep track of, whether you send them out or take them in?
There are guidelines, but the final guidelines are still up to the IRS to interpret the bullion sales, but there is usually a 24 more ounces in a 24-hour period for bullion gold. For $20 gold pieces, mint state coin, I'm not required to generate any 1099s. They are exempt. And you know what? I was listening to a commercial on you know, the programs today, and they were talking about, I don't know, some tax-exempt program and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? $20 gold pieces are the best tax-exempt product that you could purchase. And, I mean, I can't sell them to, as a way to avoid taxes. I can only, tell clients that, hey, they're the one of the most private investments. Gold is the only investment, I think, in the entire world that has an exemption like that. It is a loophole that is there. And they never closed that loophole. So gold is one of the most, if not the only, private investment that people can have. And people just don't get it.
Specifically, the older coins pre-1933, I assume.
They are the most. But even your bullion gold is still more private than any other paper investment. And people don't get it. They don't grasp it. It's a great way to distribute your wealth. And it's gold is so much more than just buying and bartering and for selling. I mean, that's important. Many people do it. But gold has a much broader range of advantages for your money than anybody realizes, anybody talks about. We don't even talk about it. I talk about it to my clients, but how often do we talk about it on the radio? So that was a great question, Rob. Gold and silver is, particularly gold, is very, very private.
Which offers an opportunity for anonymity.
Yes.
Melanie, when I was in my practice back some time ago, I had a number of clients that traveled. And there's limitations on cash you could carry on an airline and stuff like that. I believe the rules were, maybe they still are, if you have a $20 gold piece that's worth $1,200, you really only have $20 with you, right?
I had clients who traveled, and they claimed you were allowed. You're absolutely correct. They had two or three children, and they all accounted for $20 per coin. So they were all under. So they were able to take all their gold with them. Now, I can't advise people to do that. They did that. And
now, are we talking about bullion coins, or are we talking about pre-1933 collectibles, mint state?
Any coin when you travel, you take the face value of it.
Okay.
And you know what? That's probably not a very huge market, but these are things that's why I had a pretty fair practice going, because I would look into ways for people to do things that might not be what they heard on TV, And it would be, I had two attorneys and CPA in my office and all, and we always check things out. But we never advertised to do things. I always ask, what do you want to do? Then let's find the best way to do it. And I think that's how you approach how you help people build portfolios too. Isn't that right, Melanie?
Absolutely. It's all about the suitability of each person. I mean, there's great product in gold and silver, but I've seen how this gold market, this gold industry has changed over the years. And it has become confusing to a lot of the listeners, to a lot of my clients. Well, I heard this. Well, no, it's wrong, and this is why it's wrong. And that's what we do. We try to educate. It takes time to educate folks on gold and silver. It'd be much easier for me to say, oh, look, folks, you don't want to buy anything else but this one coin, period. But that's not the way the gold market is. We had David Krieger in. He's a wholesaler of mine, Hobson NBT. And, you know, and he talked about the same thing. You know, there are no bad coins. There's no bad gold or silver coins. It's just bad dealers who sell them wrong, who misrepresent the whole market because they really don't care about the gold and silver market. They just care about selling a product. And gold and silver is here. It's going to be all about gold and silver in the future. And if people don't have it in their portfolio, they're going to lose. They're going to lose a lot. And so we do educate, just like you do, Rob.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned to you the other day, Melody, that I was counseling a young professional and going over things in general. And the quick story was I asked how they sell or do they own any gold and silver? And she looked at me and says, "You mean like jewelry?" No. I mean, see, she didn't even know about coins. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
It's really, I guess, not that uncommon. That, you know, but there's just the whole thing comes down to when I'm talking to people, they're just so unfamiliar and they don't know who to trust. And I'll be darned if they're going to go to the internet and start buying stuff that they don't know much about. I mean, that's why I encourage people to call you just to chat and get an idea of what you do and how the business works. I think that's really important.
More people trust those gold dealers on TV. I mean, they're on TV. They call them because I have my clients tell me all the time, "Well, I told so-and-so to call you. I told so-and-so to call you." We have a great referral base here. It's always amazing because they'll say, "Well, yeah, I talked to the people first on TV. I didn't like them and so forth." But they do have a presence.
It's part of being in the TV generation and whatever it is, the medium, or at least it has been, principal mm-hmm. communication medium in this country for most of our lifetime, if you're an adult. So you just naturally look to it. It may be a bad idea, but still, you've seen television all your life, and you say, "Okay, I trust the TV." And it's a little bit sad, and it's something that people have to recognize and compensate for. Just because it's on TV doesn't make it true. Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true. The mass media really expose all of us to more lies than we used to be exposed to. You know, I think it was harder to lie in books and sell them than it was to lie on TV and put that advertising in front of people or lie on the internet. Lies are cheaper, easier.
I have a quick question for Rob. We're just about out of time, too. What do you think will happen when China comes back on trading next week? Because they've been closed all week. Their markets are closed.
I think there's a lot of concern within their own country about the value of their bond. And I'm not sure how they keep their markets pumped up exactly, but I know it's not, you know, similar to our quantitative easing in some crazy ways. So I think there's some good companies over there, but overall, I believe that still China is going to be the leading country, you know, for the race to the bottom. And if I was looking at any markets any more exposed than I am, I'd probably be looking more for shorts over there on a couple indexes than I would really betting on them. But people are watching them. Go ahead.
They've been closed for a week, and they haven't been able to adjust to all the other pressures. So they come back online next week. It's just going to be more pressure, I believe, on our markets also.
But are you asking whether China's closed as a pretext? The pretext is the new year? Or are you saying, or do they close this for a week or more every new year?
They close for a week for their holiday.
They always do it?
Yeah.
Okay, then it's not just a pretext right now.
No, but when they back online, how is it going to affect the world markets? Mm-hmm. After the world has been bleeding this week, they've sort of been immune to.
Well, we'll have to watch and see, but we're going to have to watch and see tomorrow because we are way out of time today. I want to thank all you folks for listening. I want to thank Rob West for being here. Rob is the senior financial strategist for RME Advisors. You can reach him at rob@fpnsolutions.com. And his phone number, if you want to call, is 303-472-0531. Rob, thank you for being on the program. Look forward to talking to you again. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Rob West. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.